God's grace, mercy, and peace
be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our sermon is from the gospel reading, just read, and beginning in verse 3, Jesus responded to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. Then he took him and healed him and sent him away. And Jesus said to them, "Which of you, having a son or an ox that has fallen into a well on a Sabbath day, will not immediately pull him out?" Today we hear and consider how we receive a place of honor before God by faith in Jesus and his rescuing us out of the well of our sin. Jesus has pulled you out of despair, and he has seated you in a place of honor. Now, in our world, there is a phenomenon called the bystander effect. This is when there's a group of people watching a crime being committed, and no one intervenes to help the person being sinned against. With everyone having a camera in their pocket nowadays, too, the bystander effect has grown exponentially because now we almost have an excuse not to help. "Oh, I need to get this on video." And everyone just watches. So preoccupied with ourselves, we deny help to those who are in need. The Pharisees today, well, they're guilty of a little bystander effect. But who can blame them? They know God's laws, the Sabbath laws. They, unfortunately, think the law of God and the Sabbath law is all about helping you find your righteousness and how good you are. The Pharisees believe that that's the purpose of God's law, the Ten Commandments, to show you how good you are. The Pharisees, though, they would not see the law of God as like a mirror, as showing sins, showing oneself their own sins. They would not confess, as we did today. They would not say, "We are by nature sinful and unclean." They would not say with us this morning, "I have not sinned against God in word and deed by what I have done, and there's nothing I've left undone." The Pharisees would not confess their sins, especially to another person. In particular, today we see how they completely get the Sabbath day wrong. They thought the Sabbath day was to show how good you are, instead of seeing the goodness of God. That God calls his people to gather around him so that he may be good to them. But don't think the Pharisees are such bad people. They were held in the highest regard in society. They were the ones you wanted your daughter to marry and your son to become like. They were wealthy. They had honor and prestige, and above all, they were religious. So religious were they that they would even invite Jesus to dine with them. However, take note why they invited him. A little bystander effect. They were watching him closely. Now, the Pharisees, they didn't care about the true meaning of the Sabbath, nor why it was given. They wanted to use the Sabbath now as a way to trap Jesus. They knew Jesus had healed on the Sabbath a couple chapters earlier, and so now they invite Jesus, and perhaps they even invited this man with dropsy to set Jesus up. Would Jesus just be a bystander when they parade the sick man in front of him? They wanted to see if they could accuse God, or he who claims to be God. They wanted to see if they could accuse him of sin. Because, you know, that's the purpose of the law, is to find the fault in everyone else. They were watching him closely. The Pharisees were more concerned about what glorifies man than what God considers righteous. The Pharisees knew about the laws of God, but they didn't know the Spirit. They had a lot of knowledge, but no wisdom. They used the law of God to put others down and to find their own righteousness so they may be exalted. All about outward exaltation. Look how good we are. So concerned for the law of God, they fall victim to the bystander effect. They're also just watching the man with dropsy. Watching him too, they think that the man with dropsy is the one who needs all the healing. When in reality, they're the ones who need the help. They are the son who has fallen into the well, and what does Jesus say? On the Sabbath day. Jesus is pointing out exactly where they are falling short, where they are misunderstanding the gospel. Jesus couldn't have spelled it out more plainly. Which of you, having a son, you guys, falling into a well on the Sabbath, would not pull him out? Jesus is trying to lead them to repentance so that he may pull them out of the well of their own self-righteousness. They were watching him closely. They were watching him so closely, they didn't even care about helping the man with dropsy. This is another side effect of pride. The man with dropsy was a pawn in their game, and because they were so preoccupied with finding a crime or a sin committed by Jesus, they so wanted to find a problem with Jesus so they didn't have to repent. So they could go on living their lives, looking, well, being just the way they wanted. But the bystander effect took place. Jesus is inviting the Pharisees to a place of honor, but they are frozen because they think God is the one with the problem. They think Jesus is committing a crime. But Jesus is offering and showing them the way of true honor, where true wealth and prestige is found in humility and repentance. And you know, we've all done it. We've all been just like the Pharisees. Not in the sense that we know God's laws and God's word as good as they do. We haven't put the time into studying God's word that even these wicked Pharisees have. It's not that we've followed their example. But sometimes we become so preoccupied with what we want, we don't realize we're forgetting that we are not putting the kingdom of God first. So often, we seek our own desires, our own wants, our own ideas at the risk of not helping others. You, Christian, are not to seek honor in the things that men honor, the admiration of the world. But we should seek first the kingdom of God, which means today in particular, being humble. We should consider ourselves last before others. We become so focused on our own self-righteousness, we don't see the man with dropsy right in front of us. Bystander effect. We become so prioritized with how our ideas and things that we're going to do, we don't recognize those who need help. Whoever will humble himself will be exalted. You are not as good as you think you are. Your ideas of how the world should be in your own life and the lives of others is not as brilliant as you might think. We are too often frozen in our own world of pride to recognize when we're not being humble, but demanding a place of honor. Being angry all the time or finding it easy to point out others' faults is not something to be proud of. Always complaining is called in the scriptures being a scoffer, and it's a sign of pride. Nor should we pride ourselves in always being the person who says something positive. No one likes false praise. Look how Jesus rebukes the ones who everyone thinks is more pure than the wind-driven snow. He rebukes them and he rebukes us because we just can't help ourselves with pride. The bystander effect is embarrassing. We know deep down that there's something seriously wrong when there is a helpless person and no one does anything. I don't believe it's too far-fetched to say that the bystander effect touches us on such a deep level because it's a picture of the gospel. That there is a recognition by all people when it comes to righteousness, none of us is as good as we wish we were. There's a common understanding among humanity that we need help. We are on a very basic level in need of rescue. God has left that in the hearts of all man. Not just rescue from our unintentional sins, but even the fact that we sometimes enjoy sin, particularly the sin of pride. You're not as wonderful as you think you are. But consider this. And Jesus, in the situation and the story today, Jesus is not embarrassed at us. As embarrassing as the bystander effect, God is not embarrassed at you. Jesus is not too embarrassed at the man with dropsy. Everyone knows and sees his sad state. Jesus is not embarrassed to help him. And Jesus is also not too embarrassed at those whose pride gets the best of them, like the Pharisees. Jesus is reaching out to all of them. Jesus is reaching out to you. Because sometimes your sins are very public and we should be embarrassed. But Jesus forgives you and He is your shelter. He is your refuge. And sometimes our pride, our sins, it's not visible. Sometimes our sins are hidden to everyone except God, like the Pharisees. Jesus is also calling out to you in that regard, that He forgives your pride. Because you see, God is not someone who's affected by the bystander effect. He is not just some innocent bystander walking by. He is innocent. Jesus, He does stand by us. He is our bystander, but He is resistant to the effects of the bystander effect. He comes in and He fights for us. By living a perfect life on our behalf, Jesus is obeying every one of God's demands. All the commandments of God, Jesus steps in and He answers on your behalf. By living a perfect life, by obeying all of God's will, Jesus, who had every reason to remain seated in heaven with God, He humbles Himself to get down on His hands and knees with us and says, "Friend, I love you. Friend, come to a place of honor, a place of forgiveness. Friend, I rescue you from death, the most dishonorable place in all the cosmos." Jesus came down and was with us, not so that he only could be seated at a place of honor, but that we could. Because you see, you're not as great as you think you are. But Jesus is greater than you can even imagine. A righteousness by faith from Christ is greater than anything we can muster up in ourselves. God isn't just standing there looking for sins or an offense against you, holding his cell phone, recording every little sin you commit. He knows everything. He knows how helpless you are. So he sends Jesus. And Jesus upholds all of God's law. The Holy Spirit Jesus sends with the Father. He is our paraclete. He is the one who comes alongside you. He is your bystander in helping and living through you. As sinful and full of evil as we can be, Jesus does something about it. Not just our sins against others, but the sins that others have committed against us. He forgives them. Jesus, by giving his life on the cross, shows us that when we humble ourselves by picking up our crosses, by trusting in him by faith, he is moving us to a place of honor. For you see, our sinful flesh doesn't want to live by faith. We want to live by experience. We want to live by sight. We see the things that the world glorifies and we want it. We want to grasp glory. But Jesus says, no, I am your glory and I grasp you. I am the resurrection and the life. I am your righteousness. I grab onto you in the waters of baptism, dust you off, forgive you all your sins, and give you a seat of honor. So it makes sense that Jesus would continue in our reading today. When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends, your brothers, or relatives, or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and be repaid. Jesus is describing God's attitude towards you. Jesus isn't giving instructions on how to give a good party, although he himself likes a good party. Jesus is describing God's mercy and grace to the humble. God has in Christ Jesus called unto himself the weak, the weary, those who don't demand their own way, but pray, thy will be done. You are not as great as you think you are, but Jesus and his way is greater than you can possibly imagine. God has invited you to his banquet. As we come to his table, his altar, this is not for the proud, but for the humble. This sacrament of Jesus' body and blood is a feast of forgiveness. It is true Sabbath. It is rest. It is God moving you by faith to a place of honor. It is God giving you something to believe in. For those who believe, the Lord's Supper is just purely symbolic. There's nothing you need to believe in. But when we believe Christ's words, contrary to our experience, contrary to what we see with our eyes, he is moving us to a place of honor. For it is only by faith that we are raised up. Our sin doesn't cause the bystander effect on God. He isn't just waiting for you to mess up. He is working for you and protecting you and even strengthening you so that you don't freeze up. That when you see someone in need, you don't consider yourself. He works through you to bring his honor to others. Jesus has pulled you out of the pit of your sin and seated you at a place of honor. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.